This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Enterprise. The access to the internet is a necessity felt more crucial and vital during the pandemic, with all of us working online to work and to conduct business. Enter eSIM, which is said to be integral to the rollout of consumer and industrial IoT devices, which is highly relevant to the current 5G discussion within Malaysia. As 5G is rolled out and we start having consumer IoT devices installed in our homes, eSIM will be key to how Malaysian mobile carriers sign up those devices onto the 5G network. And the same applies to industrial IoT devices, including connected cars that have been on the streets of Malaysia for multiple years already. I'm now speaking to eSIM service provider 10T Tech's CEO, Frederick Lilleström, to find out more. Good morning, Frederick.
Good morning, Frida. How are you?
I'm good. So maybe we'll start off a little bit about the company 10T Tech. When and why was it started?
We started up 10T Tech back in 2017, in March, actually, just 6 months before Apple launched their first consumer phones, the iPhone XS and XR with eSIM functionality. Mm-hmm. The reason why we started it at this time was that we understood or knew that Apple was going to launch their consumer devices with eSIM. We knew that since 2015 when they announced to give up their own standard.
Right.
But the eSIM standard had been around for many years before that. So the work with the company started basically back in 2010, 2009.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so what exactly is eSIM?
eSIM is actually not anything different from a normal SIM card. The only difference is that you don't have to put in a SIM card, if that makes any sense at all. But functionality-wise, it works exactly the same. The SIM card will actually still be there because it's divided into two parts. Mm. It's one hardware part that the manufacturer, like Apple and Samsung and the others, they put in the phone with when they manufacture the phone. Mm-hmm. And then the profile with the subscriber identity is downloaded afterwards. But it's still a secure element in the phone. And when the profile, the electronic profile that is downloaded afterwards from the consumer, it actually works exactly like a normal plastic SIM card.
Right. Okay. So what does it mean for me as a, I guess, as a working individual or as a business owner? Is it obvious to me that there's a difference?
Yes, it is, actually. Nowadays, you can actually have two mobile operators active at the same time on your phone.
Right.
Before, you had to buy special phones to have that with dual SIM functionality. Mm-hmm. But basically, every single Apple device that you buy today, and also the newer Samsung devices and some other smartphones, you can actually have two mobile operators active at the same time. So you can have your private line and your business line active at the same time.
Right. Okay. Right. And now, is this something that's already mainstream in other countries already? I don't know. Like, is this something maybe perhaps in Scandinavia?
Not really. I mean, it's based on that there have to be devices that support this functionality. Mm. And that takes time.
Right.
So it's slowly growing out there. And actually, Malaysia is pretty far ahead of other countries, especially when it comes to adaptation with MVNOs, meaning virtual mobile operators, the ones that use the big incumbent mobile operators network to sell their services. Mm. So it's quite many that have the possibility, but the consumer don't always see it, and it's not really advertised out there in the same way.
Right.
But every single country that have the ability to have the new Apple wearables, Apple watches and these things, they have to have the functionality of eSIM because you don't have a SIM card in those, but they still have a connectivity.
Right.
So they are definitely coming faster and faster into the market.
Right. And so the idea is that your conventional SIM cards will be something of the past.
I truly believe that. I mean, I wouldn't start my company if I didn't believe in that, of course. But it's also that there is no need for a plastic SIM card. There are many aspects in why the SIM card is bad. Mm. One aspect is the environment. I mean, it's plastic, and you don't actually need that part to put in and out of your phone. Mm. Another part is that the consumer behavior and the services that are able to develop for the consumers are much better on the eSIM part than it is on the plastic traditional SIM cards.
Right. And why
one part being the traveling industry, of course.
Mm. Please continue. So the travel industry, which of course has taken a setback temporarily.
Yes, of course. So today, when you travel, you either use your roaming and you pay your premium to the mobile operator, or when you arrive to a destination, you go to the nearest booth and you just pick up a prepaid SIM card, right?
Mm-hmm.
With eSIM, you can basically either scan a QR code before you arrive to your destination and be connected already when you're in the plane and touch down, right? And you don't have to stand in queue for finding the best solution and all of that. You can do that on the internet in peace and quiet before you leave.
Right.
Or you can even have airlines to offer these type of services when you are going on your destination. So they can offer a discounted connectivity for the duration of your stay.
Right. Yeah. So with the pandemic, have things sort of, you know, slowed down in a way, right? The uptake, I guess.
They have slowed down the traveling part of this business, but everything else had actually speeded up.
Right.
Because being able to attract new customers and acquire new customers by mobile operators without having them going into a store, that's exactly what eSIM does.
Right.
Instead of having customers to walk into a dealer store of a mobile operator, pick up a SIM card, or go in and sign up and all of that, they can just sign up online. A minute later, they have a QR code on their email. They can just scan it and they're up and running.
Right.
So that's how fast it can be.
Right. Okay. So, and of course, you know, in terms of safety and also efficiency, right? Because people don't want to move around as much as before. Now, you've chosen Malaysia as a global data center. Why Malaysia? And, you know, I guess how many people do you have on your team?
Why Malaysia? Why not Malaysia? It's a great country and I like it here. Then, first of all, we started in 2017. We started actually in Hong Kong.
Mm.
We have moved our headquarters over to Singapore for the past couple of years. But Malaysia is good for us because we can find the competences that we need to have.
Mm-hmm.
We find it on a good salary level. It's not super low and it's not super high. So it's a good level that suits us. And we have about just under 30 people today, and we will grow that rapidly during the year. And most of them is going to be here in Malaysia.
Right.
We also have operations in India and US and Europe and so on. But our main office is going to be here in Malaysia.
Right. And we'll talk about, you know, your presence in other countries in just a moment. I'm here with Fredrik Lindstrom from 10T Tech. Stay tuned to Enterprise BFM 89.9.
Burden-free Malaysia. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Enterprise. I'm talking about eSIM with 10T Tech CEO Fredrik Lindstrom of 10T Tech. And we're talking about your presence in Malaysia and how you've chosen Malaysia as the, you know, global headquarters. And you said you're in Hong Kong, India, US, and a couple of countries, Sweden and Ukraine, right? And then, of course, let me know if I missed out any. And I'm sure there are reasons why you've selected these countries. What does it mean for you strategically?
I mean, first of all, we are a global company, so we need to be in all the different time zones.
Mm.
So that's one of the reasons. Mm. Time zones is not fun when you're doing business always. So you just need to be present everywhere.
Mm.
Another part is that we need to find people with the right competence.
Mm.
And that is also what we have done with Malaysia. We have done that with Hong Kong and Sweden and US and India also. And of course, Ukraine. They need to understand a little bit about eSIM. The country needs to be somewhat mature in the business so that we actually have the competences available for us.
Right.
That is actually very good in Malaysia.
Right. Is Hong Kong the entry into China?
We don't do business in China with Chinese mobile operators. We don't do that for the reason that they actually do not allow eSIM services in the networks for consumer business as of today.
Right.
That might change in the future, but the Chinese government is not allowing roaming functionality, and this is for their normal citizens. And this is definitely one part that is making that easier. So today we don't do business in China as of such, but we do business with Chinese companies that do traveling services. So that's a different story.
Right.
But no, Hong Kong is not a way into China. It's have never been on our strategic plan. Right. We do business globally and everywhere else in the world.
Okay. You know, what is the connection to Malaysia's 5G rollout and associated IoT revolution?
Oh, there could be very much of that, actually. Today, the 5G rollout in Malaysia is based on the commercial networks. Mm. Which is normal. That's where you first look. But in other countries, you can see that private network and smaller network owners, so that covering a 5G network over a mall or the university or a special object, the factory or whatever that might be, those type of 5G connectivity is very much in favor for eSIM solutions so that you don't have to change the SIM card back and forth. You just change your service provider and basically automatically it's done. The 5G as such and otherwise for Malaysia and how that will affect us also in the eSIM businesses, especially on the IoT and machine-to-machine side, meaning that in automotive, infrastructural connectivity for IoT devices. If we're going to have all the different parts of our infrastructure and smart cities connected to the network, we need to have an easy way to connect them to the networks. And 5G is perfect for that. Not only is it fast, but 5G is actually designed to cope with handling all kinds of devices, not only super fast, but also very, very slow bandwidth. So traffic lights and light posts, and electrical meters, and all of that should be able to cope with the 5G connectivity.
Mm. How are you working with local telco operators at the moment? What are the conversations like?
First of all, we work with a whole bunch of the MVNOs, the virtual mobile network operators. The incumbent, the bigger mobile operators here in Malaysia have not been in our focus as of now. It will change over time, but as of now, it's not. So, but we of course have discussion with most of the parts here because we are based here and we have our knowledge base is not only for Malaysia; it is for the whole globe. Mm-hmm. But of course, we have deep discussions with all of them.
Right. You know, this is Juniper Research. What, 3.4 billion eSIMs in connected devices in 2025, up 180% from 1.2 billion. So, you know, I guess, how is eSIM currently being sold and how can it be improved on or changed?
Today, it's being sold as an add-on service for the mobile operator. Basically, just come in and replace your plastic SIM card if you as a consumer already know that you want it. Mm. It's not really advertised out there, but this is going to change rapidly because it's also going to change how we are buying mobile connectivity in the future. Mm. Just imagine a world where you can promote your mobile operator, if you are happy with them, towards your friends, and you can get a discount, or your friends can get a discount, or anything like that, and they actually sign up through your connectivity with your mobile operator, and they do it together with you on the app. With, for example, if you have an app with the mobile operator, and you recruit a friend, and you enter the details, and on your app comes a QR code and your friend scans that and all of a sudden they have changed their mobile operator. Mm-hmm. They can even have done that with moving over their mobile number number portability, and they can do it in a matter of minutes. Mm. So all of a sudden, this becomes more accessible for the consumer, and it raised the competitive environment for mobile operating in a completely different way than it had been before. Mm. And you get real connections with your customers and future customers. So customer acquisition for mobile operator will change rapidly.
Right.
That is just one part. Mm. The next part is if you are picking up friends or families at the airport, and the same thing here, if you want to have connectivity for them during their stay, you can actually just extend your own subscription to your friends and families that comes and stay to give them a data connectivity in Malaysia for the duration of their stay. And you can sort that out with your own subscription. So that's also the type of services. It will become much easier for customer to change mobile operator. We've also raised the bar for mobile operators to compete on their services, not always on just price and availability.
Right. And I guess without the need for a physical, SIM card, what does it mean for dealers and distributors?
Dealers and distributors, they need to change, actually. Right. Those are the ones feeling the most threat about this. But there is big opportunities. For example, for us at TEN-T, we are developing services for mobile operator where they can actually interact with their dealers and distributors into our user interface directly. So instead of having boxes with SIM card out to the distributors and dealers, and they have to assign that to each other and so on, they can actually do that directly in our user interfaces. And this is an aspect where TEN-T, we are way ahead of everyone else, and we develop these type of services because the people and the knowledge that is in TEN-T, we are coming from mobile operators. We are not coming from the SIM industry. Mm. So we are developing services for the mobile operator, not only for just replacing SIM cards. Mm. So everything that can address to dealers and mobile operators, consumers, and so on, those are the type of services that we develop in-house.
Right. So I guess, to set up something like this would involve a huge amount of investments. And I guess the question of profitability, where are we now?
We are very close on just getting over the edge and being profitable. We have had our single first month that is profitable. But yes, it's a lot of investment, and it's friends and families, own fundings and so on that cope for all of this. Right. We have also going out and taking an investment in this part. However, doing that in a year of COVID is not easy.
Right.
But people that look into this is just as triggered as we are that it is the future. There will be no plastic SIM card if that takes 2, 3, or 5 years.
Right.
I'm not completely sure about that, but it will definitely be without plastic SIM card in the future. And then it is important that you develop the right services and the right platforms for coping for that. Mm. And that is exactly what we do in TEN-T.
Right. So people can look at the writings on the wall, right? Thanks for spending time explaining what eSIM is to me. I've been speaking to TEN-T Tech's CEO, Frederick Lidestrom. You've been listening to Enterprise BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.